in my heart there's a gladness. Jesus has saved me from sin. Praise to His name, what a Savior. Cleansing without and within. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is He precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, He set me free. Only a glimpse of His goodness that was sufficient for me. Only one look at the Savior, then was my spirit set free. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is He precious to me? He is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, He set me free. He is the fairest of fair ones. He is the lily, the rose. Rivers of mercy surround Him. Grace, love, and pity He shows. Why do I sing about Jesus? Why is He precious to me? Is my Lord and my Savior. Dying, He set me free.
That's a good song, isn't it? I like that. 99 years old, that song. 99 years, just about as old as Brother Scott is, man. He likes to sing those songs at about his age, you know. I've never heard that before. He told me this morning, you're going to hear a song today you've never heard. I have never heard that. Outstanding words. And those old songs still work, no doubt. 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. So find that place in your New Testament if you're getting used to the Bible. Past Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and all the Gospels, and heading on over to the book of Revelation. The second letter that Paul wrote to Timothy, chapter 2. And I have a message this morning that goes along with our Veterans Day salute. And if you're able to stand, if you're not, that's fine. But if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, let's do that today, beginning with verse number 1. Follow along. Paul wrote, "Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." I want to speak this morning on good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, bless our time in your word now. Thank you for these men and all the ones they represent who have served in our nation's military to protect our freedoms. And ultimately, Lord, we know that safety and freedom comes from you. And I thank you for these men and others like them who have given of their time and years of their lives to serve our country. We don't want to forget, as the man in the film said, we should not forget, we should thank them. And so we're glad we had the opportunity to do that today. Bless the message to our hearts. Fill us with your spirit, both speaker and listener. Oh God, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Be seated. We make no apologies for recognizing the veterans in our service this morning. We also make no apologies for believing in the necessity of a strong military presence to deter those who would steal or hinder our freedoms. A capable military is one of the entities that needs to be funded by our tax dollars. not all the Planned Parenthood clinics out there, but a good, strong military. A good, strong military promotes peace. Now, soldiers were common in the first century. Rome was the ruling world power in the day that these words were written, and a capable military, and from what I've read and what you probably read, it seems a cruel military. John the Baptist preached to the soldiers. Jesus was arrested by Roman soldiers. The word soldier or soldiers, they're found in the book of Acts more than any other book of the New Testament. What would the words soldier and soldiers be found in the book of Acts for? Because that's when the Apostle Paul, everywhere he went, they either had revival or riot. And sometimes it was both, and sometimes it was riot. And the soldiers were called in because the Jews didn't want the message and all that stuff. It was a mess. But the soldiers are mentioned often. Now, in our text, Paul admonishes Timothy to be strong in grace and commit to faithful men the same things that were committed to him. Now, the purpose of that, folks, is the perpetuation of truth, the perpetuation of the faith. You see, Paul had received truth from faithful men. He passed it on to Timothy, who then was to commit truth to faithful men who would in turn pass it on and teach other faithful men. Truth should never fall in the streets. It should be handled with care and respect. Now, in order to be a faithful man with the truth that he had received and pass it on unchanged, and there's the thing right there. Pass it on unchanged to the next generation of faithful men, Timothy would have to endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You see, people, protecting and passing on the truth unchanged is not an easy task. There are enemies to the truth who war against it. It's what our Bible tells us. Timothy had to expect hardness like a good soldier would expect hardness. So Timothy and others in this day would have understood the illustration of being a soldier, and they probably knew what makes a good soldier. And that's what he said, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, looking at this from the aspect of being a soldier, what are the characteristics of a good soldier and for the purpose of being one for Jesus Christ? Well, I got four things for us this morning. First of all, it won't be long. First of all, I thought of the word enlisted. Enlisted. You know, there is a place for a citizen militia. I believe that with all of my heart. But a military of enlisted men can be a real point of strength. You know, there are stories, you know this, there are stories in our nation's history about men who were dishonest about their age so that they could enlist in the military early. They lied about their age. That happened after Pearl Harbor. That happened after 9/11. Men were anxious to enlist and defend their country and their freedom. But when it comes to being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, and we're not talking about being drafted. That's a different story, okay? We're talking about enlisting into the military where a man or a woman makes a choice. And when you talk about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to be enlisted. All born again people are enlisted in the Lord's army. Now, you go, no, wait, Pastor, wait a minute. Paul is only talking about men in ministry because Paul was writing to Timothy, who was a pastor. Yes, he was. But Paul also admonished every child of God to put on the whole armor of God. And what do you need armor for if you're not in the military? Put on the whole armor of God. Peter, he wrote to God's people and he told them to beware of fleshly lust. Listen, that war against our souls. That little kid song that we sing in King's Kids on the bus route. I'm in the Lord's army. Yes, sir. That's more than just a little kid song, more than just a cute song. It's truth. We are you saved? If you're a born-again child of God, you're in the Lord's army. You're in the Lord's army. You know, one of the names of God that's used in the Old Testament is Jehovah Sabaoth. Okay? And you know, the Lord's mentioned by different names in the Old Testament. Each one of those names identifies a certain characteristic of our God. Now, Jehovah is the name Lord, all capital letters, L-O-R-D. Sabaoth designates Him, the Lord, as the commander-in-chief of the heavenly host of angels that serve at His command. He is the Lord Sabaoth. He is Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. But not just an angelic host. He was the Lord of a military host. Here's what David said when he went against Goliath in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse number 45. He said to Goliath, "Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts." You know, if you want to go against somebody in war, you can have all the shields and the spears you want. I'm not against that. But if you're a child of God, the greatest weapon you've got is that you can go in the name of the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. So, on top of that, God is the commander-in-chief of all born-again people who war against those who would hinder the proclamation of truth. So my question this morning is, are you enlisted? Are you enlisted? And you don't get enlisted by being baptized in water. You don't get enlisted by praying over a string of beads. You don't get enlisted by having a Christian mom or dad. You don't get enlisted by serving in the military. I've had guys tell me that. Ask them, "Hey, do you know for sure that when you die someday you're going to heaven?" "Oh, yes. How do you know that?" "Well, I served, man. I was in combat and I survived." I'm thankful for every man or woman that survived combat. But all that means is physical safety, physical salvation. You don't get saved because you served in the military or born in America or 100 other reasons. You only get saved, folks, when you come through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and you realize that you're a sinner and you owe the wages of sin. And Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection paid that price for you. And you come trusting Him, only Him, completely Him for salvation. And when you get born again, boom, you're enlisted in the Lord's army. So when you sing that little song, "I'm in the Lord's army," that's biblical. You're in the service of the great commander-in-chief, the Lord Jesus Christ. Enlisted. Are you enlisted? Then I think about this. When you talk about being a good soldier of Christ, I think about trained. Trained. You know, members of each branch of service, they typically consider their own branch of service to be the best. Now, our video this morning, I must admit, was a little heavily army trending, wouldn't you say so? And I sat there thinking about all these Navy men in our church. And I think there was a picture of one boat. So I hated that, but that's just the way it goes. And Caleb Garraway does those videos. He does a very good job on those videos, by the way. But, you know, every man serves in a different, you know, and he considers his branch to be the best. And the honest truth of the matter is, I read this week where most men, whatever branch of service they're involved in, they consider their own basic training to be the most challenging and toughest of all the branches. So the Navy guy is going to tell you boot camp is the most tough, is the toughest regiment. And, you know, what's funny is while each service has different training schedules and requirements and orientation and all that, the week basically is the same across all five branches. They have different names except for the Marines and the Coast Guard. It's called the same thing, recruit training. Recruit training. And maybe it's boot camp. And I forget what the Army is. But it's that time when these enlisted men and women go in to be trained. Now, the people in the Lord's Army have a training camp. And it doesn't differ from one person to the next. It's the same for each person today. It's called the local church. And guess what? Our training camp does not last for just a few weeks. It lasts for our lifetime. You know, men would not make good soldiers without ample training. I will say this. I was thinking about it this week. I'm sure, and I didn't read this anywhere, but I'm just you know how there's some teenage young men and ladies that are just instinctively athletic, right? You know what I'm talking about? Instinctively, some of us are not so instinctively athletic. And there are probably some men who've served in the military who just have instinctive qualities that they just possess by nature of their genetics, their upbringing. But all in the military needs some form of training. So that's why they send them to some training. Now, in the past, the United States military has been a great help in training those who were in the militaries of foreign countries. Those of you that were here over the years, I remember our good friend Jim Vineyard, who's now in heaven. And, as a Green Beret, he trained the Hmong people in Laos to fight against communism in Southeast Asia. They took American military men over there. And our men trained those men in how to fight against communism. Why, one of my sons had hands-on instruction from Brother Vineyard on how to keep yourself safe in combat. He took Ben and a bunch of other boys out to the camp and shot a Mini-14 over their heads while they crawled on their belly and told them, "Keep your head down, boy. Keep your head down." Ben was all excited, and he was telling his mother and I about that on the phone. My wife was not the least bit excited. And to be honest with you, I wasn't either. Now, it played out okay, but he did. He took, I think it was Richard Way and Micaiah Stanley, and I forget, I don't know if they took Dave. Dave might have been in on that. I don't remember, but they shot over there. Well, they're crawling on their belly. Keep your head down, boys. Keep your head down. Americans have been used to do that. Saved people. Now listen. Saved people who never make the commitment to a local church usually miss out on some of the necessary training of being a good soldier of Christ. I'm not talking about in the Army, Navy, Marines, Air Force, Coast Guard. No. I'm talking about a good soldier of Christ. And unfortunately, being a good soldier, now listen, being a good soldier of Jesus Christ does not come instinctively to any of us. Being a good soldier in the nation's military might come instinctive to some. Some of these men standing up here were genetically just instinctive to being a good soldier, corpsman, whatever they were, whatever. But listen to me very carefully. Being a good Christian is not going to come instinctively to anybody in this room without training. Amen and amen and amen. Without training. It's just not, because the law of sin and death stays in our members after we get saved. And that law of sin and death is like the law of gravity. It just pulls us down and pulls us down and pulls us down and pulls us down. And we have a training manual here that is the Word of God. And the local church is where God wants each of us soldiers to receive the necessary training on how to be a good soldier. And we're not even ignorant of our enemy's devices, because we have an extensive manual here to prepare us for our enemy's devices. So we got to have training. It's where Sunday school comes in. It's where morning services, evening services, Wednesday night teaching come in. It's called training. Training on how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So there's got to be enlistment. There's got to be training. And then I thought about this word. I thought about the word equipped. Equipped. You know, the equipment provided to our nation's military makes them one of the best, if not the best, equipped militaries worldwide. There are unbelievable weapons available for our nation's military to use. I remember when the first war against Iraq broke out, when Saddam Hussein invaded Kuwait. 1991, going back a ways, okay. And I remember watching old black and white video footage of our planes dropping precision bombs down the smokestacks at the Iraqi energy plants from thousands of feet in the air. I mean, it'd be like getting a hole in one from 10,000 yards away and dropping it in that hole in the green. I mean, they're flying these planes. How fast? How fast are they going? It was incredible. I remember watching that and just going, seeing that. You know, our training manual, the Word of God, instructs us as to how to be equipped for the good fight of our faith. And in Ephesians chapter 6, Paul used examples of different pieces of military uniforms and weapons, both offensive weapons and defensive weapons, to describe how a child of God should be equipped to fight against the enemy. People, our enemy is threefold: the world, the flesh, and the devil. I mean, the Bible identifies the enemy. And all three of these war against us. And the Bible is specific in naming all three of them as enemies in war against us. And the Word of God equips us by helping us to identify them. Which enemy are we engaged against? And what truth do I need to use to war against them? And folks, we can have the victory if we'll just take the equipment provided and use it in the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, just like the law of thermodynamics and aerodynamics and how many other mix enable an airplane to overcome the law of gravity. When that plane leaves the runway, does the law of gravity cease to exist? No. Anything dropped out of that plane is going to go where? How does that plane fly? Because the power of those laws supersedes the power of the law of gravity. And there are truths in this manual on how to defeat our flesh, our enemy the devil, the world, and people. If we would employ, what we do is we try to use other methods, psychology, and they don't work. They don't work. You know, one of the people that got saved here, was it two or three Sundays ago now, was talking to the person who was dealing with them and talked about how that they'd tried to get victory through AA. But I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to get victory through Alcoholics Anonymous. You get victory through the Lord Jesus Christ and the truths found in this book right here. And honestly, God's Word equips us so that we can be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, military equipment, you know what? It has progressed over the years and developed to become what it is today. But here's the blessed thing about our equipment. Our equipment is the same today as it was when God put it in writing. The old still works. It still works to help us be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. So you've got enlistment, you've got training, you've got to be equipped. And then let me say this morning. I think about this word because it's in the text here. Loyalty. Amen? Look at verse number 4. That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. That's talking about the man who is a soldier, needs to be loyal to his superior officer, his commanding officer. You know, obeying the commander is absolutely an essential in the military. An enlisted man not in obedience to his superior, he's going to be in serious trouble depending on the degree of disobedience. I was listening to a book on D-Day, the invasion of Normandy, back in June of 40, was that 44? 44, I think it was, okay. And you know about D-Day. And they had those landing craft assault boats They're like long boxes with the, in the end, flopped into the water. And they were talking about, there were these, all these soldiers and people packed in these boats. Horrifying. First of all, they had to fight the seasickness. Most of them, a lot of them got sick just on the ride in. It was bad. Weather wasn't really good. The ocean was choppy. And they go, and they're seasick. But here's the bad thing. I mean, some of those first LCAs that headed toward the beaches there, Utah and Omaha, whatever the other names of those beaches were in D-Day, they encountered resistance from the Germans. And they had mines below sea level that actually blew up some of those landing craft assault boats. And this guy was telling the story how that he was in an assault boat that was kind of in the second wave. And they're headed into the beach and they're passing soldiers whose boats were blown up. And they're in the water and they're begging for help. Save us. Save us. In some cases, they were drowning because their equipment was so heavy and there was 6 feet of water. They couldn't keep their head above water because of the poundage they were carrying on their body to get to the fight. In some cases, those LCAs had been carrying jugs of gasoline. And when the boat blew up, the gasoline spread on the top of the water and caught fire. Some of those men were burning. Some of them had limbs missing, and they are begging, save us, save us. And you know what those LCAs did? They kept going. It never stopped. He said it was sickening to him as a soldier. And the reason they didn't stop to rescue their own fellow soldiers who are probably going to die in the water is because the superior officer had told them, you don't stop for any reason. You don't stop for any reason. You go. Now, folks, I'm not here this morning to discuss right or wrong. I've never been in the military. I never conducted a battle like that. My point is, these men had to be loyal to the command of their superior officer. And they passed by those dying men. And I'm sure it probably bothered this guy for years and years and years. Loyalty was expected. Now listen, our objectives as soldiers in the Lord's army is to please our commander-in-chief. And look what the first part of verse 4 says. It says, no man that warreth. Who is he? That's you. That's me. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You see, as God's soldiers in the Lord's army, we should not entangle ourselves with the enticements of this world. We are to be loyal to our superior, the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to sail past the wreckage of this world and stay on course to obey the orders of Christ. Because ultimately, He is our commander-in-chief. And obedience and loyalty to Him is of the utmost in our lives. And I'm going to tell you what happens to us. The world, all of its enticements. We get distracted here and here and here. And we get ourselves entangled with the enticements of this world. And we lose our mission as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. That's what happens to us. I'm reminded about that person who worked up there at the railroad station, at the ticket booth. And they had some kind of problem and a train got canceled. And a man was standing in line to buy a ticket. The man in front of him was on the train, had been on the train, was going to be on the train whose train got canceled. And he was furious and he was hollering and yelling at this person behind the ticket booth. And, well, no, you know, you've seen them. Maybe you've been one of them. I don't know. And the guy just stood behind there and finally, you know, he got his next ticket and he's furious and stomps off. And the man comes up and he says, I need to rebook my trip. And I forget if it was a man or a woman, but while they were doing the paperwork, the guy with the had to rebook the ticket said to the person in the booth, man, I don't know if I'd want your job or not. How in the world do you please everybody? And the person in the booth said, sir, do you see that office up there on the second story right up there? That office right there? That is my boss. As long as he's happy, that's all that matters. That's all that matters. And you know what? You know what, soldier? As long as he's happy, that's all that matters. Okay? As long as he's happy. But you and I are not going to be disloyal to him and him be happy with us. It takes loyalty to Christ. Loyalty to Christ. To be a good soldier of Jesus. Are you enlisted? Are you saved? Through the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, have you been born into God's family? If not, hey, that's the most important thing. Is to be saved and you know it and know it. And then once you get saved, you get the training, you've got the equipment, and you take what you learn. And in loyalty, you live for your superior commanding officer. That's how to be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. There's other things involved, but that's all I was going to talk about this morning. Enlisted, trained, equipped, and loyal. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'll take the simple message today. Use it in the lives of the people of this church. God, we're not talking now about being a loyal soldier or sailor or flyer in our nation's military. We're talking about being loyal to Jesus Christ. Enlisted, trained, equipped, loyally serving him. So challenge our hearts with these thoughts today and help us to be a good soldier of Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let me just ask this morning, hey, are you enlisted? If you're enlisted, you're saved and you know it. By that, I mean you're born again, you have a home in heaven, and you know that for sure. For sure, without a doubt. If that's you this morning, could I just see your hand just lifted in the air as a testimony and as a sign of the fact that you know that you're saved? Thank you. You may take your hand down. I wonder if you're not enlisted in the Lord's army. I said, Pastor Angel, I'm really not interested in being a soldier. Okay. How about interested in where you'll spend eternity? Because that's what this is really all about. It's about being saved and having a home in heaven as opposed to being separated from God forever in the place called the lake of fire. If you're not enlisted, if you're not born again, whosoever will may be saved. Come to Christ and trust him. If you're not sure that you're saved, I'm just going to pray for you, not by name. I may not even know your name. But if you're not sure that you're saved, you couldn't raise your hand a moment ago. Would you just slip it up right now and say, Pastor, by raising your hand, say, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'm not sure that I'm on my way to heaven. Anybody like that today from side to side, front to back? I'm not sure I'm born again. If you're here today, you've come to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Now's the time for you to do that. Come tell one of these men that's what you came for. Or talk to one of these so they can have somebody talk to you about being baptized or to join the church. How about being a good soldier of Jesus Christ? Are you getting the proper training? Are you using the equipment provided in God's Word? Are you? Are you entangled in the world? Pastor, somewhere throughout the course of the message today, the Spirit of God spoke to my heart about one of these areas, and I'm not ashamed to admit it. Pray for me in your closing prayer. Could I see your hand wherever you're sitting this morning? See your hands. God bless you. Amen. 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 Father in heaven, I thank you for the privilege to preach your book. I pray that you'll help us to be good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, I pray if there's anybody here today who's not saved, that they will come and trust Christ and be enlisted in the greatest army in existence, your army. And Father, I pray that we would get the proper training, learn the equipment that you've given us, and loyalty serve you. Help us to be good soldiers in Jesus' name. Let's stand together, heads are bowed, eyes are closed. No one is looking. and let the Lord work in your heart this morning. If you're not sure that you're saved, now's the time to come. Would you do that? We'd love to take a Bible and show you how to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and be enlisted in the world's greatest army. How's your training? Are you committed to the local church? The boot camp of learning how to serve Christ. How did God speak to you this morning? You obey Him. If you need to be baptized, now's the time to come. Follow the Lord in baptism. You make the move that God knows you need to make. While we wait this morning, you obey the Lord. Join these who have come. If you're not sure that you're saved, we'd love to take a Bible and show you how to know Christ as your Savior. It'd be the greatest decision you'd ever make in life.